just a take spoonful it in. Of taint makes take it the in. Wine go down. Hey. The wine go down. The wine go down. Yep, we're back at it again. Ladies and gentlemen, we are your boys from the Black Tower, your Mihails, your absolute tainty gentlemen here to give you another dose, another episode, another hour to an hour and a half to 2 hours to who the fuck knows of a great topic that all of you are very interested in because it's always good topics with always good people and in an always good place here on the Discordias.
I mean, it got Josh to let his hair down, so it's got to be exciting.
That's true.
Yes, but I am your Bajan Mihail, Andrew.
I am your Suravan Mihail, Mr. Josh.
And I am reloading! Fucking motherfuckers!
If you're cockroaches want to play rough!
If you're watching the Discord right now, you understand what's going on. If not, then I am Daniel. I am your Avangama Mihail. And I have done a fucking ridiculous amount of cocaine.
Jesus Christ. In game.
I made a comment once that I needed to watch Scarface again, and someone was like, how big of a douchebag are you? I was like, wait, what? And they were like, people who say they want to watch Scarface on the regular are douchebag bros. And I was like, first off, I didn't say I wanted to watch it on the regular. I said I haven't seen it in a long time, and I wanted to see it again because it's a good movie.
So technically, I actually just shot your thing in the face because I haven't seen it in a while, which therefore means fucking checkmate, bro. Checkmate.
Remember the time my thing shot me in the face? What?
Whoa, hey, all right.
Woo! Muzzle discipline is a fundamental tenet of safety.
Muzzle discipline is a fundamental in all things.
Even if it's not your muzzle.
With dogs, with
especially
rifles.
Especially if it's not your muzzle.
And with the other thing. And with your Black Towers.
Peter, muzzle friendly discipline. Downrange.
Do you have friendly fire on? Because Perrin does.
Oh! Oh, God.
Oh, man. We're going to get so much traction out of that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to take it while you can because it won't be around forever.
True. Just like Layla.
Sometimes 50
minutes.
Yeah, sometimes 50 minutes.
The jokes write themselves.
But we are the Black Tower Podcast, a Wheel of Time podcast. And if you want to find everything Black Tower Podcast, go to www.blacktowerpod.com.
Sorry for the quick interruption, but just wanted to take a second to make sure you knew about blacktowerpod.com. It is our very own website with very handy links for you to access all of your favorite Black Tower Podcast stuff. Whoa, a break-in during a break-in for a plug? Yes, Patreon. It's a fantastic place for you to support your favorite content creators. For as little as $1 a month, you can throw some support our way and help us continue what we're doing here at the Black Tower Podcast. That $1 a month will get you into our live recordings. We will also shout you out during an episode, and you get access to record a spoiler warning for our episodes that we will use. There are some other perks, like our Sword and Dragon Challenge coins that you can only get by being a Patreon member. And there are perks as far as getting some different random merchandise from us and things like that. Go on over to our Patreon and check it out. And we thank you again. Now, what was the other plug I was doing? Do you want to post in the forums on the website? There's a button for that. Do you want to join our Discord and talk to us there? There's a button for that where you can just click and join the Discord right there. One click and done. Do you want to check out our merch? There are buttons for those. If you want to see what we've been doing recently, there's a section called Dragonsworn On Demand, a calendar for the Black Tower. We thank you so much for checking it out. And now let's get into the episode.
And when you're done getting your feel of the taint that is the BTP boys, there's another link on the page you should check. It's a fantastic chibi who looks like they're out hounding rocks because they are. Click that image to go and check out our official channel sponsor, the Crystal Barista.
Crystal Barista, who is currently upstairs putting together about 50 of her subscription boxes.
Okay? Hey, wait, we're sorry. Is this for the crystal barista or the clitoral barista?
Crystal
barista. Got him.
The clitoral barista is a
each
whole
piece is hand tailored just for your special needs. Packed in a lovely silken bag, coming with its own cleaning cloth and spray. You'll never be disappointed, upstairs or down.
Ever. It's a fact. Scientifically proven, peer reviewed.
It's a fact.
And
a Disney fact.
And when you're done at blacktarpod.com and crystalbarista.com, you need to mosey or amble or sprint over to thegreatblight.com. Now, I know people
ranger shuffle.
Told you to
ranger,
stay away.
Ranger shuffle over.
You can ranger shuffle. Yeah. Or you can like Fremen walk, the funky Fremen walk. So you walk without rhythm.
Or you can dance down the sidewalk like Tobey Maguire.
Stop it. You've had your dancing privileges taken away.
So then you go over to thegreatblight.com. Why? Because Nablists has put together thegreatblight.com. It's an amazing site. If you want information on the characters, you can have a character profile / bio / MySpace page that is book-centric. So you can read, if you've only read up to book 7, you can see all the character information up to book 7. It's a really great tool so that you don't get spoiled. It is a work in progress, though, so don't expect everything to be perfect yet. It's a very large undertaking. He's doing an amazing job with it. It also has a catalog and compendium of many, many, many Wheel of Time content creators. So if you like, if you found some Wheel of Time people, but they're not quite your flavor, and you're trying to look around to find out what flavor you like, say you don't like Tinked. I know you do. But I'm saying, hypothetically, if you didn't, you could go over to the Great Blight.
Listen here, if Johnny Law ever asks you if you like Taint, you tell him, no way, buddy.
That's true. But then you go over there and you look for a different place. They got all the different content creators from all the different platforms. It's a really fantastic place to be. Head on over there, check it out, and then come back and tell us we were right.
Also, just to throw out there, it is not yet TV put together. So if you do, that if you are only note. Watching the TV show, which I hope you are, well, sorry, not only, I hope you're also reading the books, but if you're just watching the TV show, do be aware that there may be things in books that don't happen in the TV show or vice versa. So you might be a little bit confused about characters if you're like, oh, I've watched season one, and then you look up their bio from book one. It might be a little different, which is fine. That's a good thing. But also, please be aware that you are still at risk of being spoiled for other things. But we do love you. We hope that you do read the books, and then you will be accurate as far as the spoiler-free wiki.
Yeah. And so once you've been able to go to the Great Blight and pick out your other favorite content creators besides us, some of those content creators have stuff available at newcreationsbygen.com, only place of the official Frosty Mug collection. Go and check it out. It's fantastic. It's the only Frosty Mug collection. There's just
it's
an ancillary honorable
mention. You're right. I like that one.
There's an honorable mention that exists on
words
Zazzle.
Are important. The exact verbiage is important.
It is.
Go and check it out. There's a ton of Wheel of Time oriented merch on New
as
Creations
Barrett
by Jen.
Taught us better than Moraine ever could.
And if you're looking for gifts for this upcoming Valentine's Day, New Creations by Jen may be able to help you out as well. They do a lot of custom work. All that being said,
also, if you're looking for gifts for Valentine's Day, do make sure that you go over to adamandeve.com to the Black Tower section. That doesn't exist yet. We're working on it.
Nablis does sell a red rod Tirongria.
He does.
Just say
it. Is it still actively for sale?
Yes. As far as I know.
I don't know.
I mean, Josh broke his from overuse, so he needed to get a new one for the the guest spot we did the other day. So he knows.
Yeah. Got excited, okay?
So
I get you, man. I get you.
If If you're listening to us, you're also a Wheel of Time nerd and fan. And so there are two important events that you need to be and slash get ready for. This coming April 22nd through the 24th is JordanCon in Atlanta, Georgia. So go keep your eyes on JordanCon.org for tickets that might become available and go on sale. It's going to be in Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be there. We hope to see you there. But if we can't see you there, or it's just too soon and you can't make it, or you can't get a ticket, there's another opportunity in July, from July 8th through the 10th. It is WattCon. It is the first. Yeah. It is the first that I'm aware of official dedicated Wheel of Time convention. It will be in Columbus, Ohio, again, July 8th through the 10th. WattCon.com. to get your tickets and visit the FAQ and get all the other information, hotel and all that stuff. So go and check it out. Get your tickets to both, get your airfare or gas money ready for both, get your hotels ready for both, because I don't let people crash on my couch unless it's one of these guys. Last time I did that, I couldn't walk for 3 days. It wasn't fun.
Hey-o. All right.
Yeah. They did a number on my legs.
With WattCon, they already have confirmed Kate Redding and Michael Kramer to be one of their guest speakers, as well as Daniel B. Green. So there will be some. I believe they're working on announcing some more others as well. But this is going to be super fun. It's going to be super awesome. You do not want to miss.
Also, there are three other people who are going to be there that you don't want to miss. They're not like guests of honor necessarily. Like, they had to buy tickets. But their names are Andrew, Josh, and Nablus. You definitely want to make sure that you go see those guys.
Yeah, Andrew and Daniel at any convention means the Black Tower's at like 88%.
Josh.
I'm getting real Rand Matt Perrin right. Talking to girls vibes from this conversation.
Josh. God, I get it. Josh. You know how they have those memes where they have the fellowship? And then they start taking people away. Yeah, if we took away Josh from the Black Tower, it'd be like 70% right there.
Oh,
you take away Daniel. Andrew from the Black Tower, loses at least 30%. So, yeah.
Daniel, you're so humble. It's sickening. All right, what are we talking about tonight? Maybe we should get some protection on. Should we get some protection?
Oh, we should.
Arriving now.
The Black Tower stands fully erect.
When the tower is bulging at full erectness, you must protect yourself from tainty spoilers.
Your spoiler condom must cover the immense girthiness of all 14 books of Robert Jordan's The Wheel of Time.
With an itty-bitty tip at the top for the prequel New Spring.
If your condom is too small, you will get tainty spoilages all up in your eye.
Or ears. You have been warned.
There it is, true. Guys.
It's what this little black circle in my ear is. You think it's an ear, but it's actually a tainty plug.
Mine's fucking open.
I can't get it out.
Because I have one of these fucking over-ear headphones, which I do highly recommend, by the way. They're actually quite nice. But
fucking, so the taint pearl necklace to your ears?
Taint pearl
necklace? Yes! That's exactly what happened! Fucking Andrew coming in with exactly the words, with exactly the verbiage I was gonna fucking use. I just didn't fucking know it yet until Andrew said it. Shit. Fucking de Blasio, I tell you what.
Nice. Perfect.
I try. It's one of the three services I provide in life. So, but speaking of services and cervixes, we are going to be talking about a relationship. So this episode, we've done our talks on a parent, and we've done our talk on Fael. So today we are going to do a discussion about the definitely flawless relationship between Fael and Perrin.
Oh, shit.
However, now that I think about it, spoiler condoms on, if we just go with Perrin's wife from the TV show, if we just go with Layla Ibarra, that pretty much sums up what Fael's arc should be.
Yeah, pretty much.
Show up for about 50 pages, die in the end, leave us alone. We're all happy. Even Perrin has a golden twinkle to his eye after that.
Hey-o. I gotta say, as much as I hate, please hear me out here. I don't like
fighting. I am mostly joking, by the way.
He annoys the ever-loving crap out of me. But if I needed to have someone in my corner and it was like a choice of like Fael or Elaine or... So Fael, I think she has some really, really amazing redeeming scenes and qualities.
She does.
And yes,
they're about 7.5% of her overall story.
Ugh, I hate how accurate you are with that.
You know, but who else has a number of really redeeming qualities and story arcs and things like that? Perrin. It's about 9% of his story.
Yeah. You know, it, but that actually
which is a still, match made in heaven.
That's 8.5% more of anything he does in the TV show.
That is such a great point, Daniel. I had this conversation about someone who is a non-reader. They just watched a TV show and they were like, Perrin didn't do anything the whole time. I was like, okay, here's the deal. Neither does Book Perrin. Like, he has like 4 scenes that are ultimate badass, God-level amazing scenes. And then Demise the rest of it Wells, is like
him Slayer, going, Lanfear,
Mahalanir.
That's it. No, we got all 4. That's it.
but him and Fael, like, I think match character-wise and chemistry-wise. I think they match really, really well. And even though the characters drive me insane, I think they have a very good blending. It's like, who else is going to date Perrin? No one.
Ouch. Also, Egwene. So I just want to throw out there, I actually did really well, and one of the things that I actually really appreciated, there was the episode where Egwene and Perrin get captured by the White Cloaks, and Valdez being a grade double S, because we're going into Japanese fucking rating system here. Grade double S douchebag. And Perrin distracts the fuck out of Valda with his glowy eyes and bigness. But who kills Valda? Or at least stabs him, because his body's not 3 days dead, so we don't know whether he's dead or not. Dude, he's probably not.
And he's going to be pissed.
He's going to be pissed. But you know who stabs Valda? It's not fucking Perrin. Perrin doesn't stab that motherfucker. It's Egwene. Because guess who actually gets things done in the Fellowship? Egwene fucking Alvear. That's who actually gets things done in the Fellowship. Yeah. He goes
full like post-Cold War like Russia posturing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to stand up. Yeah. I'm going to puff out my chest. I'm going to stare you down. And at the end of the day, what am I going to do? Fucking nothing. The only difference is they didn't do anything because we also weren't going to do anything.
And let me be clear here. I do actually think Book 1 Perrin is probably one of the better Perrins earlier on, because he actually does do things in Book 1. He does actually kill White Cloaks. He does actually go ahead and learn about his wolf ability. He does actually do a handful of things, but it's all like half things. He doesn't actually do anything. And so again, the fact that the TV show did him right there, where he does the half the thing, where he does the, I'm distracting Valda, I'm getting angry at him, I'm making him cower in a corner for like just a moment, and then somebody else actually comes through with the thing. Like, that's perfect Perrin right there. That's like 100% Perrin.
Agreed. Hard agree.
Yeah, anyway. It's true. So generally, at least for me, when I say Perrin does nothing, it is in comparison to the other characters that do so much that
accurate.
Honestly, per the story, have far less individual importance based off of the story's background and lore. So there's that. Like, I can't even really give him much of like an excuse or explanations. Like, well, a lot of it's off screen because it's not like can make the argument for men all day long.
And we
can't really make the argument for
parents all the time.
Oh, and we do all day long. Okay. So Perrin and Fael meet.
Yes.
And Fael is going by the moniker of Mandarb, which causes Perrin some
horsey.
You look like a horse, and shows her the horse. This is Mandarb.
Wait, is Sarah Michelle Gellar playing Fael? Sorry, I apologize.
Welcome to this episode of the Shadecast.
Right?
I love how he goes. She says, "I'm Mandarb. It means blade in the old tongue." And he just starts laughing at her. She's like, "I'll cut you, bitch." And he's like, "Yeah."
Did I mention blade?
They this met is the in horse.
Remen. Always been on black.
The horse named Mandarb. So,
which, to be fair, I do appreciate the fact that she just like says that as a thing. The only reason that Perrin thinks that's humorous is because Lan has also named his horse after the same old tongue thing. Like, it's not like Mandarb is like naturally the name of the horse. It didn't like come out of its mother's womb and then its mother was like, "Ah, yes, Mandarb." Like, no, fucking Lan Mandarb. Named his horse Mandarb Oop. Because it means blade in the Lawn. Old tongue. And then, of course,
get off my lawn.
Fael comes along and she's just like, "Hey guys, my name is Blade in the old tongue." And then Perrin thinks it's funny. Wesley Snipes
shows up.
Not because it's a funny thing. Just falls out of the sky.
There's only one Blade, motherfucker.
And chops her head off. And the whole story was better.
Roll credits. So she says, "Fine, my name's not Blade. My name is Fael. It means falcon." And Perrin does this.
I also love how she's got another name just fucking lined up.
Because she's ready to roll. She don't give a shit. As long as you don't call her Zareen. You call her Zareen,
yeah.
She will cut you. She will.
With her Mandarb.
With her Mandarb.
Yes. Or with her Perrin, either way.
Now I just want a knife that is in the shape of a horse and the back of the horse has been sharpened.
Yes! Oh my god, I love it.
When I'm a better blacksmith, I'll do that for you, buddy.
It also should be appreciated because we're going to make the reference to Mandarb, the horse, and leave the one for Fael.
I love that Fael finds out what their quest is. She doesn't really find out, but she goes, "Okay, wait a minute." She overhears the fact that Perrin's Tavirin. She recognizes that Moraine is Aes Sedai. And then I don't know if she knows if Rand is the Dragon Reborn. I don't think she does. But she sees there's an Ogier. She sees this crew and she's like, "This is the weirdest group of people in the world."
Well, Rand's not with them at that point.
Even correct. yes. So even if you guys don't know where the Horn of Valyr is, I'm still coming with you because this is where I need to be to become an adventurer, to have a bard write a song about me, to have a gleeman write a song about me.
I also love how at that point, everyone in the group, except for the one person who is actually looking for it, knows exactly where the Horn of Valyr is.
Yeah, I love she like even if I don't know where the Horn of Valyr is, and everybody's like,
"Fael is that person that starts her journey off, and like her internal theme music is the whole like Hercules, I can go the distance, but for everybody else, they just hear Benny Hill music."
I love it. It's perfectly summed up.
Oh, we're shitting so much on Fael,
dude. She deserves it. She's a shit character who ends up doing fun things eventually.
She's not bad.
But that's what she was just written
this way.
Yes, and that means that she's bad.
She attaches herself to Perrin, and in the Stone of Tyr, they spend a lot of time together and cultivate this romantic relationship where Fael starts giving him lessons in how to deal. It starts off with Perrin, dude, you're a hillbilly from some backwood sheep shit town that no one's ever heard of. And you are now dealing with the Terran High Lords.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to brag. I'm nobility. I'm going to help you. And this is where I'm going to get to one of her first redeeming qualities. She recognizes that he has sharpened hearing and eyesight. But she also recognizes that he don't like people pointing it out. And she likes that it's a political advantage. So she doesn't tell anybody about it. So that when they're having conversations with parents, having conversations with people, she will be over here like this. And then everybody's like, yeah, well, I don't know why Fael's muttering to herself. Perrin, what do you think?
And he goes, you're a total twat waffle.
Call him a twat waffle. She says it in a way that only he will hear it, knowing that only he will hear it in an effort to help him basically not get bent over a table, like in a really bad way. And so this is the first redeeming quality.
Mostly because she really wants to be the one bent over the table. She
definitely
wants. She doesn't want Perrin bent over a table because then he'd do less of it to her.
I mean, so they're both characters that can and often, well, not often, but fairly with some regularity, do things that complement each other. It's like playing D&D and having two high elf paladin path of redemption paladins. They're like buddy, but other than like in battles, what do you do other than, you know, try to make everybody else in the party feel bad?
Andrew just went full meta.
He did.
I mean, it's more of an insult to me because this Friday I'm actually playing a path of redemption paladin. So
are you a high elf?
No, changeling with dissociative identity. So you're not disorder. Like
could have called it.
Y'all should absolutely.
That's a druid, bro.
No, that's a high elf.
I bullshitted away to base essentially have two characters in one.
Nice.
Like schizophrenia / DID shtick in D&D. The shtick in D&D.
The shtick. Yes, indeed. So again, let's just go through the events of their relationship real quick. Just because this is a story all about how not that part. It is, but it's not. So we got
Fael and Perrin almost dies to his axe.
Right.
Was that the inspiration?
Yes.
Bet it was. Perrin and Fael meet. They go ahead and she watches him smith once and her loins get all girded. And then she goes ahead and falls in love with him in the Stone of Tear after Perrin
in her loins.
Like already is in love with her, even though it doesn't necessarily make a ton of sense. I mean, there's enough time for it and whatnot, but there's not a ton of buildup as far as why Perrin likes Fael. Maybe it's just because Min told him that he would. Then we get he saves her from a dream. They go to the Two Rivers, even though they're very annoyed with each other at the time that they go to the Two Rivers, but he gets sent there by Rand and Fael comes too because she's written that way.
Pain in the ass.
Pain in the ass. And then they get married in the Two Rivers after one of her redeeming, actually after two of her redeeming things. After her only two redeeming things in the Two Rivers. Her only two redeeming things in the Two Rivers. There are two. There are this many redeeming things in the Two Rivers. So then they leave the Two Rivers and go back to where Rand is. And they go through this whole arc where they're doing this kidnap thing. After Fael gets kidnapped, after they join up with Berylane and are looking for Mesima, then they save Fael and she kills Mesima. And then we go back to the actual Tarmin Gaiden thing, which is happening just about now. And Perrin does some cool stuff in the Land of Dreams. And Fael does some a cool thing in the land of the living, well, the land of the wake. And then well, she doesn't even
she get inspires, consequences for it. A scene from Endgame. So
yeah, she does. And then she doesn't even get consequences for it, which is a little annoying. And then they live happily ever after into the sunset in some ways, because both of them are alive at the end of the story. And hopefully both of them understand each other better than they have through the entire story, because most of their relationship through the story has been
wolf shit.
I will say this, and this is something I've just now thought about. All of Fael's redeeming scenes, like her absolutely amazing scenes, are very, very appropriate for this episode, because all of them pertain to her interaction with Perrin.
Agreed.
And I will disagree with you. She has three redeeming scenes.
Okay, so I will give you the two. You can give me the third one. Number one is the one where they show up, Perrin realizes or is told, doesn't realize, he is told that every member of his family that is known is dead. They have been killed, presumably by Trollocs, and there's nobody left. And Fael goes, I've been mad at you for an entire journey and then a few days, but now is not the time. I'm putting pause on this fight. You need me right now. I'm going to hold you in this common room until you stop crying.
She does the Lillian Marshall thing. She goes, pause.
She does.
Come here.
Number two is he sends her away because he knows he's going to do two things. Number one, probably die in this fight. And if he doesn't die in this fight, he's probably going to go with the White Cloaks to go die at the hand of the Inquisitors, because he has offered himself up as the scapegoat for all of Dane Bornhald's anger. And so he sends her away because he's like, go have a life, be good. I don't want you to die in this battle. And also, I don't want you to see me get taken off by White Cloaks. And she goes, yep, totally going to do that. You're absolutely right. I'm 100% going to leave and never come back. And you're probably going to die. And I'm going to be sad over you for a while.
She and says, then I will leave.
She doesn't. No, she absolutely.
She says, I will leave.
Yeah,
she never promises she, to not come back.
No. She doesn't promise that. She just like is, as I said, that was very sarcastic. I think
Daniel was trying to like heavily lay on the sarcasm. Yes, of the.
I was much laying on the sarcasm. Then she leaves, gets people as reinforcements from Watch Hill and Devon Ride and Taryn Ferry and everything, brings them back to the Two Rivers and goes, I left.
That's exactly what
you. Yeah. Okay, so what's number three?
Number three is one of the only times I can think of that she thinks outside herself, and she says, look, it's been a year or whatever it's been since we've started traveling together, since we've been together. I asked Tam how you guys celebrate that. And he said there wasn't really a ritual, but this is what he did for his wife. So this is what we did. And she set up a nice little picnic under the stars. And she said, look, I love you. I do want you to know that I do care about you as well. Now, it was a super sweet scene. It really was. It really tugged on these cold, dead heart strings. The only issue I have with it is it feels like too little.
A band-aid.
It is a great scene. It is a redeeming scene. And it's a scene when Perrin can, you know, I find that one of the things I love about Perrin's character in the books is that when he's able to sort of drop his defenses, when he's sort of able to just go, oh thank you. Like it feels like a happier, even when he's crying about his family passing. Like that scene is so tender. Them sitting under the stars having a picnic, you know, him sending her away to fight to the death, and then her coming back and saving their asses, and she's going, I left, I promised I left, but I didn't ever promise I wouldn't come back. And he just hugs her. The chemistry between those two in these scenes is absolutely perfect.
It is
perfect.
Now, Andrew, Josh, and I have talked a lot. What are your feelings on this? What are your thoughts? Let's just Two Rivers, Fael, and Baron. Let's just sort of narrow it down a little bit to that. What do you think? You know, what is in just this interaction? Not necessarily just those redeeming moments, but in like the whole interaction, what do you think?
It was a brief, it was a brief and disappointing, ultimately glimpse into Fael's fane of considering a culture outside of her own. She agrees to the marriage customs of the Two Rivers, with the caveat that Perrin still, before she fully considers it fully legitimized, has to get the seal of approval from Daddy Davram and Mama Bashir.
Daddy Davram!
So it's a very brief glimpse of, like, when I read it, especially on a reread. Well, on a reread, it didn't give me hope because I knew better. But in the first read, it gave me hope that, like, okay, she's going to come out of her self-absorbed shell to some extent. She's going to realize that everything in the world doesn't revolve around, you know, her. And that there are other cultures than Saldea. And it seems like for a moment, she's finally starting to, like, work on that compromise and work to actually be, like, a functional couple with Perrin.
Nope.
And then the rest of the series happens and you're like, oh yeah, she really doesn't give a shit. Because the only other culture she ever takes on and tries to appropriate is a bit of IO culture through some forcing out of her control.
Well, and again, only because people bring it to her and go, hey, we want to be Aiel, but also under you. And she's like, I'm agreeing with your statement. Because, like,
I mean, at least she recognizes that, like, they're going to do it anyway. So why not use them for political advantage? That's a really big thing with her is,
oh, yeah,
this very, like, she thinks she's super subtle, and it may just be that impression because we actually kind of get to see what she's thinking. But Fael does a ton of political maneuvering, and it's nowhere near the subtlety and art and craft that we get from Tom and Lorraine and late series Rand or Elaine or Bear-Elaine. I mean, Bear-Elaine's is just disguised through a thick sense of making everybody think that she's a bit of a harlot, but.
A light,
you know, stint. In reality, she's not. Like, she gives off that impression that she's easy rather than give off the impression she's very difficult. So that makes people think they're going to get something out of working with it. So, you know, she attracts the flies with honey. Whereas Fael is more of a salt there with no water kind of way to attract all the flies.
Yep.
Like, here's a salt lick. Do what I say.
Yeah.
So, and then the salt lick stabs you.
So one of the things that I actually think about Fael that I know I've said before, and I'm going to say it again because it's this episode.
Oh, Bear-Elaine is way more effective than Fael.
And one of the reasons that that I have such a problem with this relationship is that if Fael was with someone like, I don't know, Wyrmon, or like Talmanes even, or somebody who's actually a political figure, wants to do that, has a desire for anything political and or power intensive, or whatever you want to call it, I think that Fael would be a huge asset and that she would actually be very, very effective and very good for them. I definitely think that she has a very good head for politics, schemes, and the usefulness of others. I really do. Unfortunately, she ends up going ahead and getting herself paired with Perrin, who is a Ta'veren, and that's it. He does not want to be a lord. He does not want to be in politics. He does not want power. He does not want any of this shit. And Fael goes, yeah, but you gonna get it though. And he goes, no, I don't want it. And Fael constantly goes, yeah, but you're gonna get it though. And that's the problem. That's the biggest problem that I have with Perrin and Fael is that, like, in their relationship with just the two of them, it's not that bad. They're a little annoying with just the two of them because Fael seems to not be able to understand Perrin completely, and Perrin doesn't quite seem to understand Fael completely. But to be completely honest, that is actually most men and women. The problem that I really have with this pairing is the fact that one of them absolutely, unequivocally tells the other person that they don't want something, and the other person goes, but two things. Number one,
I'm gonna do it anyway.
And second, I'm good at this, so you're gonna get it anyway. And you're just like, could you just fucking listen for a second? I know that you're effective. I know that you actually end up being really good at getting this person these things because they have a nature that ends up going ahead and being very susceptible to it. Because they're sort of a, I won't let people down leader. But right. It's not what they want, and it's not what they're asking for. So stop it. And that is like there's the lion's share of the story that just pisses me off with their relationship because it's all that. Josh.
I will disagree with you on one point. You brought up the point. Oh, hold on. I will disagree with you on one point. And that is, you know, when you start talking about if Fael were married to Wyrmon or Talmanes or any of the other nobility in the story, that, you know, there wouldn't be this conflict. And I have to say, I disagree. I think
there wouldn't be conflict. I just say they would want it.
Yes.
Okay.
That. But I think the only reason that she was able to have this speaks to the amount of garbage that she is as a person. The only person she could have a relationship with is Perrin, who doesn't have the noble arrogance to stand up to her. And it isn't until very late in the story when Elias is like, bro, you need to grab her by the scruff of the neck, slap her around a little bit, and scream at her and tell her she needs to obey daddy. And Perrin is like, I will not. That is abuse. That is horrible. And Elias is just laughing at him and be like, yeah, that's how they do it up there.
Like, well, I also love how technically Daddy Davram says the same thing, but he's like, not going to listen to that at all. I'm not going to listen to you, period. I'm just tuning all of this out. Then Elias says it and he goes, we have more of a relationship. I still don't like what you're saying, but I'm going to listen. But yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Like, if Fael were like sitting right here and I was like pouring up drinks and like, hey, I would offer her a drink. I'd be like, would you like a drink?
Sure.
But I would not like it. I would do so out of hospitality.
I don't.
And out of obligation of being a gracious host.
Okay, let me actually clarify something here, because I think that you actually brought up just a good point there, Josh, just a moment ago, is that I actually think that Fael would be fun to hang out with. I actually think that she would be a fun person if I didn't have to date her. I don't have any desire to be in a relationship with Fael. I have no desire to go ahead and make it so that regularly I have to be around her in a, you know, one-on-one or small group setting. However, if she was at a party, I think Fael would be really fun. I would totally invite Fael to the party. Now, I also know that there would be fucking scheming involved because that's what she do. But at the same time, I think she could be really fun at the party. And then when I wanted to leave the party, I'd be like, cool, bye. And I don't have to take you with me because we're not dating. I don't have to take you with me because we're not seeing each other. And I don't have to come to the next party that you're at if I don't want to, because I don't necessarily want to deal with you right now. But like at the same time, I would totally drink with Fael. Fael, I think, would actually be fun to drink with. Andrew, you made a face.
Oh, not no, but hell no. Knowing what I know about Fael, and it's not about her like personality or that she wouldn't or couldn't be fun. I on those points, I agree. She definitely could and probably would be. But I know and have been around and probably have had several points in my life and probably will have points in life where to some degree have been a form of manipulator, like political manipulator, not like the really bad, cringy, illegal manipulation kind of bullshit. Like none of that. But people that will take situations and scenarios and they will record them mentally and store them and use them later or use them for their own maneuvering and political gain. You know, kind of like the quintessential, you're in an argument with your significant other and they bring up like, well, 3 years, 4 days and 37 minutes ago, this is what you did. So that's how you're wrong now. I could see Fael using the entire party, making it look like she's drinking wine and even being good enough to pass off that she's getting more glasses of wine, even though she hasn't drank any, just to see what dirt she could get on people. She'd be like that person at the college parties. That it just can't wait to go back and make friends with the people that she wants to by telling them how many times they saw their boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever cheat on them at a party. Which, to be fair, like I have no remorse for the cheaters, but it's that style of like doing things
but and it's being the, somewhere what can only I for get their soul out of this. Yeah, no,
and exactly. that's what I get out of Fael so much, and for the at least the first half of her relationship with Perrin. It is very much a what can I get out of this? And she does.
Never some mind. I don't want to go to a party with Fael anymore. I take it back.
She does some.
Yeah,
she
just like, completely convinced me. He needed like two sentences to do it. And he totally fucking did. Anyway, sorry.
I mean, it's like the ultimate like Rolodex of here's all the shit that I know about you that I can use against you. And even if it's not anything really bad or that bad, she will make it that bad. And I'm just like, I'm not a big fan of the drama and stuff because, I mean, that's a big motive why publicly, especially publicly, but even mostly privately, I just don't talk about drama as much as I can avoid it. Because it's just unsavory. And it seems like an area where Fael would thrive. And she does very well at it. So
she definitely has a very adept knack
file in the corner of the party world star
for knowing what the drama is and navigating the drama and even stirring up drama in order to obfuscate her ultimate goals.
She doesn't spill the tea, she pours it out perfectly.
Yes, that is, oh my god, that's a perfect way to put it.
Well, because, and she has tea parties with exactly the people who that tea is going to be useful on.
Like the whole scene in, what was it, episode 7, where Nynaeve is like, oh, I can't believe y'all are still fighting just because Perrin and Egwene like each other. Fael would do the exact same thing, but way more subtle to get to the point where the things that Egwene and Perrin said would amount to an admission of that.
She wouldn't do it in front of everybody. She'd go to Perrin by himself and tell him all of the things that Egwene has said about him for years. And then she'd go to Egwene on her own and tell her all of the things that Perrin has said about her over. Yeah, it's fucking ugh.
And this is, I think, a really important thing because Perrin, he does have hard lines. Like, he does have hard limits. He does have hard... And this is the problem, is that one of his hard limits was don't kill Massima. And Fael was like, oh, yeah, totally. I promise I will not kill Mishima. And it's really, really frustrating because...
It's so frustrating.
Again, Perrin has sort of this code of ethics, code of honor, code of I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. And she... Well, I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. It doesn't matter if there's going to cause problems later on down the road. I gave my word, and that's what I'm going to do. And Fael says, okay, you gave your word. I didn't give mine.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't care about his honor in those types of situations when she thinks she has ferreted out what the greater good is. So you've got a scenario in which Perrin is, his interactions with her are very sort of, what's a good way to put it? There are two sides to his interaction with her. One is the very honest, the very open, the very sincere, the very unguarded. I just need someone and you are there and I appreciate you and I love you and you're the person that makes me feel safe. You're the person that makes me feel home.
Husband and boyfriend pair.
And then you've got another sort of feel for their interactions, which is very guarded Perrin. Like, I don't know what you're doing right now, but I know I don't like it. And I need you to listen very carefully to me and not do the thing that I know you want to do. But even
Severe
in that,
friend I, of the dragon Perrin.
But even in that, I have to look at that and say, Perrin knows she's going to do it anyway.
Well, and again, to Perrin's credit, which I don't say that often, I feel like as the books keep going, one of two things happens. He either goes, I need to make Fael actually say in words the thing I need her to not do, so that she Aes Sedai doesn't get herself out of it later. Or if she does, I can actually be mad. Or he goes, for fuck's sake, as much as I don't want to admit it, I do kind of need Fael to do this for me, but I'm not willing to do it. So you have my word as Lord Perrin. Fael, don't make me watch, because if I watch, then I'm in trouble. And so go do the thing, and I'll be like annoyed at this whole thing the whole time. But what I need to get done will get done, and I'll just be frustrated with the whole situation later. And this is neither of those things are good.
This is a weird moment, because to your second point, you and I believe, are juxtaposition, because I normally like Perrin. I don't love him, but I like Perrin. I think that him relying on that kind of, I'm going to leave the ambiguity there, or I kind of want her to do this, but I'm not willing to do it myself. It's scapegoating. It's 100% scapegoating. It is.
Oh, yeah.
I am not willing to do the things that I feel need to be done. So I'm going to take the easy way out and pawn off the guilt on somebody else. It's like calling out sick the day that you were supposed to be in the firing squad whenever you volunteered to be in the firing squad.
Yep.
Like, no, yep. It's 100% scapegoating. It's like, oh, it's one of the lowest forms of political maneuvering. It's
well, and I will admit that when Perrin does that, there is one redeeming thing about it, and that is that seemingly Perrin doesn't hold it against Fael.
You say seemingly or seemingly?
Seemingly.
Oh, okay. Perrin doesn't
seemingly hold Fael hold it against Fael when she does those things, which is actually a big problem in relationships. I wanted to say that there is one redeeming thing here about Fael and Perrin's relationship. It's minor, but it does exist. And that is that when they actually get to the point of understanding each other, which doesn't happen for a long time, but I don't know, around the Failgate part of their relationship, Perrin knows this about Fael. That she is gonna do whatever she needs to do behind his back, even when he has expressly said, I won't do it. Fael knows that Perrin is this way, and that he is not going to go back on his word, that he does not technically want to be a lord, that he does not want any of these things. And both of them use the other one regularly. Then when they get together and they find out that they have been used, typically they don't get angry at each other for using the other one in exactly the way that they've figured out is most effective. And I would say that that is in some ways a little bit of an understanding that they have that actually does make them work as a couple. Because using your partner's strengths is part of a relationship. Shoring up your partner's weaknesses is a part of a relationship, typically.
It's a very fine line, though.
Yeah, and if you can actually do that in a way where neither of you holds the other responsible for bringing up a weakness that they have, or using a strength that they have, or going back on certain things that you know about them at some point, that is, or that can be a hallmark of a good relationship.
You just got to be careful.
I don't think it necessarily is in the books.
Don't overstep into murder.
Yeah, no, exactly. Don't overstep those things. Don't overstep those things. And I think regularly Perrin and Fael do overstep those things. And even though I feel like Fael actually has a very, 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 very far line, and Perrin has a hard time stepping over her limit of what is okay, Perrin's line is very much here, and Fael oversteps it regularly.
Here's the thing about it, though. They come from two completely different worlds. I'm going to sneeze again. They come from two completely different worlds. She was a noble lady raised to rule and lead with the Saldaean culture of borderline, like, domestic violence style relationships.
Perrin illegal was in raised, seven other Westlands nations.
Right, exactly. Perrin was raised in the Two Rivers, where they are overly chauvinistic, chauvinistic in many, many ways.
I would say chauvinistic, but overly seems like a stretch. If you're using the word, well, then overly is unnecessary. Or okay, they're chivalrous, which is chauvinistic.
Overly chivalrous and chivalrous. I'm sorry, that was the word I was looking for. Overly chivalrous. Thank you.
There we go. Overly chivalrous is chauvinistic.
In many ways, yes. It's interesting to me how
these two people. Your buzzword for the podcast.
There it is. Hey-o.
Today's buzzword is.
Chauvinism, is it good? No, it's not.
No,
it's never
chivalry.
Good.
Is it good? Chivalry. Yes, to a certain extent,
it can be. Yes,
I imagine at the point where it becomes overreaching, it would no longer be chivalry.
And that's
The chivalry comes with an inherent, like, it's out of respect, not out of, like, I'm going to do this for you because you can't handle it yourself.
Yep.
Keep going, Josh. And Daniel touched on it earlier when he was talking about...
Did he touch it? Is he going mad?
He did touch it. Get the wine.
He touched on it
earlier when in a healthy relationship, each other's shortcomings and you capitalize on people's strengths. That works in any relationship, but it is especially important in a romantic relationship.
Yes.
And Perrin and Fael do this. Oh, God. They do this really, really well. But hold on.
Mm-hmm.
There is a fine line between I know what you need better than you do yourself, and I know what you need better than you do. Okay, so just listen to me.
So the difference between the intent of chivalry and chauvinism?
Yes. 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 It's and I know we're touching on some really sensitive subjects here. So please just bear with me here. There's absolutely no reason for you to act on somebody else's behalf. Period. End of story. Mm, and if you respect
But it has to come from the right place. That's the difference.
Let me get there real quick.
Sorry, I apologize.
If someone were to, on my behalf, say and or do something that they believed that I should say and or do, I would be upset. Fair. Because even if it is the right thing to do, I was not given the choice or the ability to do or say the thing myself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I have said or done a thing and someone else comes behind me and says, you need to comply, we need to discuss this, we need to have a further discussion.
Are you ready to comply, Josh?
On your knees. There's a very fine line between saying, look, my husband is a lovable idiot and he doesn't know what needs to happen. I am here to make things better for him because I love him and I want him to have a better experience in all of this. Versus my husband's a dumbass. He doesn't know what he needs and I'm going to do it anyway and I don't give a shit what he thinks. This is the problem with Fael because
she's. By the way, don't call your spouses either of those.
Do not do that. That is a recipe for bitterness and child support and alimony. But Fael skirts the line, and in some cases she steps over the line.
There you go.
By being very much so that I don't care what Perrin wants. This is what Perrin needs. And this is why we collectively, I believe, have a problem with Fael, but are also able to acknowledge that, okay, yeah, she does have some redeeming moments.
Yes. Well, and I do want to say it got brought up in the Discord chat, and I do want to give credit where credit is due.
Weird.
I do actually think there are times in the Two Rivers and beyond that Fael does the, my husband doesn't know what he wants. I do know what my husband wants because I love him.
Yes.
And given that I love him and I have a particular knowledge base, I am going to help get him what he actually wants because I lovingly think that this is actually what he wants. There are those moments, there are those things. I am not saying that there aren't. Now, I will admit that in my humble opinion, I think she's wrong, but I do think that they come from that place of my intent behind this was I love you and think this is what you actually deserve. There are also plenty of other times, and this is where I have a real problem with Fahil, is the many times where I feel like she goes, my husband doesn't fucking know what he wants. Are you kidding me? What an idiot. I'm going to get him what he actually wants because he's a dumbass and it's time for him to get what he deserves. Those two statements are exactly the same words. I'm pretty sure I used almost the exact same verbiage in both of those things. And they are so quintessentially different. And I think that Fahil does a lot more of the latter than the former, even though if I'm being completely honest, I think that she thinks she does a lot more of the former than she does the latter.
Most people that fall into that trap do so as well.
Agreed.
That's why the wording about so much of this can like be so tricky, is because yes. A lot of people feel like they are making decisions for somebody else out of love. I am one of those people that you don't make decisions for somebody else unless they are 100% in a situation where they cannot make decisions for themselves.
Yes.
Yep. So, you know, and the situation can be so problematic. I mean, obviously, if you love somebody and you're with somebody, you should talk with them about the stuff first.
What?
And if they look at you and say,
communication? Hey,
I agree with what you're saying. I just don't want to be the one to say it or do it. Then by all means, yes. Go for it. But if they're like, I'm not sure, or I'm uncomfortable with that, or simply that's fucking wrong, I have these marching orders, this is what we're going to do. Don't be the dickwad that goes behind their back and says, screw you, I know better. And because then you're condescending and you are my absolute least favorite kind of person.
Yeah.
And that is chivalry to chauvinism right there. That's
yes.
100%.
Precisely. And that's possibly one of the most difficult things about loving someone.
It is.
If you love them and you respect them and you say to them, I don't think you should do that. And they say, I'm gonna fucking do it. And don't you dare stop me. If you love someone and they're doing something that is obviously a mistake, it is so difficult to step back and say, do what you got to do. It's probably one of the most difficult things. And that's, we actually talk about this in society all the time where parents are like, my kids will never. And it's like, your kids have to.
Yep.
And if you don't let them when they're 8, guess what? They gonna when they 20. And I promise you. Jesus
Christ, we already see it.
I promise you the consequences for at least the last 10 years. When they 8 are much, much smaller than when they 20. So let them do the dumb when they 8. Not when they 20. Let them get it out of their system when they're young. So that when they're 20, they go, yeah, I did that before. It was dumb. I ain't doing
teach
that.
Teach them about electricity. When they put the butter knife in an electric socket, just be like, you're not going to do that again, are you?
How did
that make you feel? I know it hurt. Shocked your ass about 8 feet. Your eyebrows will grow back. Move on.
It's AC, so they won't get stuck to it, just so you guys
know. And I will say that, again, that is one of the things that I think is true about so many relationships. In our
next lesson, we're going to go grab the bullhorns of the Transformer.
But no, that is one of the things that I think is true about so many relationships, because you already brought up parents, you already brought up, you know, dating, you already brought up, husband and wife and things like that. But that is so important. It doesn't matter in so many ways what relationship you have with someone. The important part is doing your best to communicate the fact that you know what they're about to do is going to have consequences that they don't like. stopping them from doing it is not your job most of the time. Most of the time. There are small exceptions to that. But overall, actually forcing them to not make the mistake is not your job. Well, and that is one of the problems between Fael and Perrin, to bring it back to the topic at hand for just a moment, and is this that is where we were going. She regularly stops him from making the mistake she feels like he's making. And that is so patronizing when you're actually forcing someone to not make a mistake. Again, if you've made the mistake before and you just want to explain to your spouse, I love you, and the reason I'm telling you this is because I don't want you to have the consequences I dealt with. That is out of love. That is out of an abundance of, I want you to understand what I went through so that you don't have to go through it. But if they still say, fuck you, I'm doing it anyway, up to a certain point, you need to let them make that mistake on their own. They are never actually going to understand the situation until you let them make that mistake on their own. Now, again, to a certain extent, if it ruins you financially, if it ruins you because they cheat on you and that's not an okay thing in your relationship, like, again, there are lots of caveats on that. I'm not saying that there aren't. But again, forcing someone you love to not do something is a huge problem. And it is scapegoatism. And they will resent you for it later down the road.
Or they should.
It's one of those things where some people have never had to duck walk and spread their cheeks and show their butthole to an old guy at MEPS. They just don't understand.
And it shows.
Yeah, and it shows. You want to know what vulnerability feels like? Duck walk around a room in your boxers with a bunch of other half-naked people and then have to bend over, spread your cheeks, and have an elder person stare straight into your brown eye.
We had Dr. Cold Hands and Dr. Big Hands, and I'm not going to tell you which doctor I had when I joined the Air Force.
Dr. Big Hands wore both of his graduation rings.
And neither one of them got my phone number or asked me out to drinks after. Fuck you, Dr. Big Hands and Dr. Cold Hands.
Oh, I think he just gave the game away.
This is why Fael has such, this is why it honestly, let's look at this too. Let's say Fael does not date Perrin. Let's say Fael remains platonically that well done, Senor He Who Comes with the Wine.
I don't know if he broke Andrew, but that one was close. Actually broke me.
It was close.
All right, cool.
Close. I'm gonna say no.
All right, that's because
I can still breathe.
All right, it was fair enough. Which is weird,
right? I think it's because I was on something. Now I can't even remember what it was.
It hits a little too close to home for us.
Yeah. No, I can't even remember what I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault. It's He Who Comes with the Wine. Screw you, buddy.
No, but actually, you're
coming in my wine.
Wait. No, but okay. We are actually getting too late ish here, and not that we don't have more to say, I think it's
final thoughts. On this whole thing.
Okay, fair enough. So I will say my final thoughts on Perrin and Fael as far as their relationship goes, as far as them together is concerned. I will say this time and time again, I think that one of the reasons that these books are so good is because Robert Jordan and later Brandon Sanderson understood people. And the fact that there is a relationship in the books that's Gawain and Egwene, the fact that there is a relationship in the books that is fucking Ruark and his two sister wives, the fact that there is a relationship in the books that is Fael and Perrin is so telling as far as what Robert Jordan and Brandon Sanderson knew was the spectrum of relationships. And I think that while I fundamentally disagree with lots of things in the relationship between Perrin and Fael, because I think that they are not a very good pairing as far as a romance is concerned, I also recognize that if I look around at the world, there are a lot of Fael's and a lot of Perrins out there.
So many.
If I am being honest, while I don't like the way that they're written in terms of the fact that I don't like Fael and Perrin's relationship, not that it's not written well, but that I don't like it, doesn't mean that it's not real. Doesn't mean that it's not honest, and doesn't mean that it doesn't come from a place of, I see this in the world, I'm going to write it in my story.
Right.
And so to that end, I think that the relationship between Fael and Perrin is very important in the story, and that there are times where it is heart-wrenching in a good way. Overall, I wish it had been skipped in some ways because I really do have some fundamental problems with it. And we've talked about those. I think that really both parties, though, if I'm being honest, more Fael than Perrin, step over the line between chivalry and chauvinism.
Yes.
And that in the end, I think that Fael probably was not the best choice for Perrin to be with if he wanted a good functional relationship.
A simple life as a blacksmith.
However, I do fall back on my original statement. I understand why it's there. I appreciate its honesty. And I think that Robert Jordan and Brandon Sanderson did a great job with showing you a dysfunctional relationship that is still a relationship.
Yeah.
There you go.
Relate some shit.
I know, right?
I love it.
Relate some ships, damn it.
Andrew, you got this, or do you want to take a minute?
I mean, no, I can go now.
Go.
Probably better before too much of the honey wine sets in. So, by the way, if you're ever looking to send Andrew a gift, Viking's Blood Mead is my favorite.
There are two really good gifts to send Andrew. One, Viking's Blood. Two, graphics card.
Yeah. 2070 or higher, please. You know,
It needs to have at least three PCIe's. If it doesn't have that many PCIe's, fucking trash. Get it out of here.
Get it out of here, peasants with your peasantry graphics cards.
I mean, for the most part, I disagree. I mean, for me, like half of the moments where Fael kind of has these kind of redemption little or slightly redeeming events, they're all overshadowed by how she acts outside of those moments. And at least half of them are erased by the whole Massima thing. I don't know. I'll have to talk later about it. If I remember, we may never address it again, why I think Berylene is far more effectual than Fael is.
More effectual. Are you kidding me? If anybody actually made that argument, serious, I know it was in the Discord, but if anybody actually made that argument, I don't want to be patronizing, but you need to learn.
I mean, the long and short of like what I would have to say about that without expanding on it is
Barrelane has the task and has been successfully completing it for years of maintaining the sovereignty of a small nation. Fael just sometimes helps Perrin get what he needs and wants, and most of the time just manipulates people into getting exactly what she wants. And I'm going to put maintaining the sovereignty over an entire small nation while like expertly maneuvering around people far higher than I am. You know, I really want a PS5, so I'm going to manipulate mom and dad against each other to see which one buys me a PS5 first. And then I'll get two.
Just had some rum go down the wrong tube.
Oh, that's always fun. Hey, it's good. If it goes down the bronchial tubes, that's added protection and sanitation from the Rona.
It's true.
That's true. Now, just
burn out that esophagus.
Correct. I am not saying inhale alcohol.
No, or bleach.
But or don't do either of those things, please.
Yeah, don't do either of those things.
All right, Andrew, you good?
Good.
Here's the deal. Perrin and Fael have that relationship. And you know what I'm talking about. They have that relationship. They're the couple that say, hey, come on over Friday for game night. And then you go over on Friday for game night and they're fighting about something and they argue in front of you. And it's awkward and it's stupid. By the way, if you're this couple, don't fucking be that couple. That's stupid. You suck. You're the worst. Perrin and Fael are this couple. Input. However, as I love
Andrew
from having friends who have this type of relationship, you have two options. One, you can let them just be them and stay out of the way and not get involved, because I promise you getting involved is a mistake. Two.
Even if somebody is obviously right, don't get involved.
You can jump into the relationship and say, bro or sis, this is a bad choice for you. This is not a great place for you to be. But guess what? Two things with that. A, you're not in that relationship, so you don't really get to say. It is up to those people in that relationship for them to say whether or not they're okay with it. Ultimately, okay? At the end of the day, ultimately, it is for those people to make the decision to continue being in that relationship or not.
I'm an
the other thing with
dick.
That is
if I'm uncomfortable, there, we all gonna be uncomfortable.
And that's why we love you, Andrew.
If somebody else is making me uncomfortable,
say you jump in between two people in that kind of a relationship. Say you jump in between Perrin and Fael and you say, you guys suck, you're terrible together, don't fucking do this. Who are they gonna blame? You. That's just how it is. So if you want to be blamed for breaking a relationship up, sure, jump in the middle of it. Cool. If not, do the loving and respectful thing and be like, bro, you're in a relationship with someone who sucks and I love you, but you're just going to have to learn this on your own.
It's better than being blamed for the like disappearance of a YouTube channel.
It or is it?
Depends on which YouTube channel. Because that one.
I'm
100% like, down with the blaming.
I feel like Perrin and Fael have that relationship that on the outside appears very volatile and very dramatic. But to them, they're okay with it. And that's the relationship that they want. Everybody else on the outside looking in is like, why are you happy? And they're like, because I love the drama. And if there's one thing we know, Fael loves the drama. And Perrin is like,
true.
Perrin is just like, yeah, dude, cool. Like, let's do this shit. He's also a very dramatic person in a different way. So,
see, I would disagree with that. I think that Perrin is actually just a punching bag. And so Fael goes, don't you love the drama, Perrin? Don't you? Don't you love the drama? And he goes, sure, Fael.
For 70% of the story,
I love the drama. I'm.
But anyway,
I love you, and therefore I love the drama.
I love that good, and therefore I love that drama. No, so
dude, she downs his Mahalanir. Like, she dances the nobody's Sasara. Fucking business.
She dances the Sasara and sings to his wood. So thank you all for joining us. This has been an episode about Perrin and Fael.
Possibly, and if you leave with anything, we just want you to know, don't get in your friend in between your friend's problems. And Fael dances the Sasara and sings to Perrin's wood. Those are the things you need to know.
That's it right there.
That's all the news that's fit to print.
That has been
your. And if you do get into arguments and I'm around, I will find the popcorn. I am not above going to the store, getting popcorn, coming back, waiting for the next argument, because there's always multiple. Popping it, and I will sit there and chow down on popcorn. And after each one of you makes a point, I will sit there and murmur in the back, you know, they've got a point. Regardless of what it is.
Dude, fucking just, like, you're going to die as the bar.
So they're like, you know what? You do sound a lot like your dad. Level. You know what? Yeah, your grandma was right. You are going to end up alone and sad.
Andrew, I both love you and hate you more right now.
See, it's a service. I'm giving them a common enemy to hate to get out of that moment.
Wait a minute. We should charge them for this. They should be.
It worked in World War II. It got us out of the Great Depression. So
if you do something well, Andrew. Don't do it for free.
Thank you for tuning in for the popcorn. Thank you for joining us.
Just FYI, that is your movie quote of the week. If you are not a Patreon, you suck. Get in here. We will take comments down on the YouTube channel. So if you're listening to this wherever, and it's
comment and rate there, Friday, please. Ratings do help us.
Friday the 11th. True. No, not Friday the 11th. Friday the 13th. Oh, shit. Is it going to be Friday?
Oh, my God.
No, Friday the 14th. Friday the 14th. Woo. Friday the 14th. If it's Friday the 14th and you're listening to this and you know that quote,
Jason this month.
Find the YouTube.
Throw it in the comments.
Throw it in the comments. Or the Discord or something. But we will not take entries until January the 14th, motherfuckers.
And you know what we'll do? If you're the first one on that day to comment the movie quote, where the movie quote is from, we'll pin you in the words of the How Ridiculous channel.
We gonna pin you.
We'll pin the comment.
We gonna do it.
Why not?
It's true.
Indeed.
So, okay. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for receiving your dose of taint in the most orderly of fashions.
They were really orderly today.
They were really orderly. It was a little strange.
I'm impressed with you guys.
I expect
you guys formed ranks
to throw a little bit more chaos at us.
But, yeah, you know, but no.
Maybe we were just on point in this episode. And he didn't have to correct anything.
Oh, God, I hate that. No,
thank you for
He's saving it for the comment section.
Thank you for being awesome. You guys are awesome. We love you. Thank you for being here. Remember, go to Black Tower Pod for all. BlackTowerPod.com for all things. Black Tower Pod is your one-stop shop for everything you need from the Black Tower Podcast. And as always, thank you for being here. We love you. And I have been your Sorbonne Mihail Josh.
I have been your Bajon Mihail Andrew.
This one. And I have been your Amin Khan Mihail Daniel, and now I'm thinking of getting a tattoo with a QR code that just sends you to blacktowerpot.com.
Right there.
Fucking, oh, yeah, right
that's
here.
That's a great idea!
Right
not
there.
On the forehead.
We'll have to get some temporary somewhere tattoos made so you can just, like, spit on it and put it on your arm. All the best things that leave marks on your body you can spit on. That sounds terrible.
God, I love this guy. But from all of us here from the Black Tower Podcast, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Everybody who's here live, you're amazing. Everybody who's not here live and is listening to this for the first time on the 14th, you're also awesome. We love you.
Facts.
Fantastic. Thank you for listening. We hope that you're having an amazing day. We hope that everything is going right. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.